I want to say I appreciate each one of you that have come out. I believe the Lord appreciates each one of you that come out. I know it's an effort during the week to work and then come to meeting. But as we heard this song just now, in this day and time, we need to be reminded Jesus is coming soon. The end is coming soon, and it'll do us well to prepare for that. As I was seeking the Lord for tonight's service, a picture came into my mind. You won't travel far on an interstate if you were going to travel across the United States. You won't go too far till you see construction. And there's flashing lights and everything to tell you, slow down here. There's danger here. Don't travel your normal speed. And it may say for the next 20 miles there's going to be construction. You'll need to drive at a slower speed. The speed limit is now slower for these miles. You know the feeling that you get when you have finished that 19th mile and you look up here just a half a mile up, the lanes broaden again and you can set your cruise again and travel. I believe that's what we've been through here. Is the Lord has wanted to send some serious messages for us to tell us, use some caution, slow down, look at life. There's some dangers for you that await you. Slow down right here. But as I was seeking the Lord for tonight, I believe it's kind of like when we're almost to the end of the construction area and the Lord says, okay, for tonight you can go ahead and set it back on cruise. And I imagine you're happy for that too. For us to be able to say, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for the times that you send us correction, instruction, warning to us. But you know, thank you, Lord, too, that you also give us some time that you say, okay, now it's clear sailing ahead for you. I would like for us to think about a verse. Isaiah 12:3. It says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. How do you see salvation? Many people see it as a pretty big burden, a pretty big load. They can look on us and say, wow, look at how you people do. Look at what you give up to live for the Lord. I thought about that song that we sing sometime. Some think this great salvation will stop all their good time. They must not do a thing but sing and pray. You know what? We do just what we want to. We go wherever we please, and that's what we're doing here today. With joy, we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Salvation was never intended to be a burden for the people that accepted it. But instead, it was to give us freedom from the burden of sin. Freedom. I thought of a verse of a song that said, let worldly minds the world pursue. It has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but to set me free now. Free, free, free. I am from sin set free. This world has now no charm for me. I want to tell you folks, we need to be thankful for that. The devil would like to tell us, boy, you folks are few in number. You go by some of these other churches and you can't even get in the parking lot hardly. I want to tell you the big important thing is that we're living free from sin. That sin has been removed from my life. Salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I would like tonight to go to another verse. John 8:34. It says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, it would be terrible if the book just ended with that. If you got sin in your life, you're the servant of sin, and there's no cure for it. But he didn't stop there. We're talking about with joy, you'll be able to draw water out of the wells of salvation because salvation will do something for us. It was intended to do something for us. The 36th verse says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. When the Son of God, when Christ does a job for us, you're free then. Freedom has really come. I thought about David, King David. He had the title that he was a man after God's own heart. And that was when he first started out. You remember when Samuel was talking to Saul, he said, God is looking for a man after his own heart. We can hardly say that David was that when he fell into sin. But what I like about David was when he was corrected, when Nathan the prophet came to him and showed him how he really looked before God, David was the king. He could have had Nathan put to death and say, I can carry this on a little longer. But instead, he humbled himself. He saw who he was. And we look at the 51st chapter of Psalms. You don't see David justifying himself. You see him begging the Lord, Lord, I want you to make a change in who I am. He said in the 51st chapter, the 10th verse, David, King David, saying, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. God has a plan for us today in 2016 that same thing can be done. We can have a clean heart created in us. Renew a right spirit within me. Lord, I want a change to be brought about. 51 and 12 said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It is possible today to have the joy of his salvation. Thought of another song that says, must I in sinful bondage be deprived of peace and liberty? When in the promise I can see the blood of Jesus cleanseth, it can still cleanse. It says the blood will work a perfect cure. It'll cleanse the heart, and then it'll keep it pure. The blood has the power, the blood of Christ. 2,000 years ago that it was shed, but it still has the power to create in us a clean heart today. And because of that, I need to walk away from that saying with joy, I'm going to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Because salvation was intended to do more than just, I go to him tonight and tell him I'm sorry for everything I have done today. And Lord, I'll be back tomorrow night to tell you that I'm sorry for the things that I did tomorrow. Salvation was intended to do that very thing. It was intended to forgive me of those sins today. But it was intended to build some bulwarks, some walls in my life, to be able to let me understand sin before it gets into my life. That it's not just after I fell into it, now I see it and I need to go back and repent. What a change we have today from when David lived. We have the possibility of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. To the point that it says, when you would turn to the right or to the left, when you would make a decision thinking this is the right way to go and it really isn't, you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Folks, we got so much to be thankful for tonight. We need to go back to Christ often and say, I want to thank you for the sacrifice that you made. Salvation. In the 26th chapter of Isaiah, and in the first verse, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. And you know what? It was nothing that we built on our own. We got together a group of people and we made us some rules and we got a strong city. No, we've got a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks. Folks, in this day and time that we're living in, we need some boundaries for our life. We need some places in our life where I have it set. I won't cross that area. The Lord is to set those for us. Because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. If I tried to do it on my own, I would come up short. But if I will go to Christ, this plan of salvation, it is appointed to give us some walls and bulwarks. Those things were intended to give us protection from those things that are without, that would like to come in and destroy me. Thought about the cities that there were in the Old Testament. They put a lot of time in building a wall around that city because it was the only thing that's going to protect them against the enemy that would come. And there were times when the enemy would fight to get through that wall for years, but there was a wall of protection. I want to tell you, we have a wall of protection around us today. Sin is abounding, but there's a verse for that one too. Where sin abounds, grace will much more abound. Grace will always... Grace, what is that? It's God's power that He will give us. Divine power to be able to live this life. I don't ever want to say, I think I can do it on my own. I know right from wrong and I can do it. I need the grace of God to be able to help me. There is a song, I'd like for you to sing it with me. It's number 196. Because I think sometimes we take for granted what the Lord has for us, the protections that He has for us. I'd like for us to sing number 1, verse number 1, and verse number 3. How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. His anchor, the promise of God's written word, to keep him by night and by day. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. A wall of salvation upon every side, strong bulwarks presents to the foe. Oh, and in every conflict, though sorely tried face, shield will ward off every blow. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We're going to have that second verse with it, though. How firm the foundation upon which he builds, a structure to glorify God. Wondrous the power of the Savior that shields from all the vile tempter's dark flood. That wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Sounds like pretty good protection there. How safe is the soul, not that trusts in himself, that believes he can do it right, that abides in the Lord securely from sin hid away. I am thankful for that. I'd like to share with you something tonight. You can go to a gas station today and you can have a choice of what fuel you use. You can get the very cheapest there is and they put ethanol, but it costs less. Or you see the places that say pay a little more money and you can get 100% gas. Now, I drive a lot going back and forth to work. So I just buy the cheapest because I don't mind the pinging and the carrying on that it does when it's running on cheap fuel. But I want to tell you, this right here is high octane. It's the 100%. It will carry you through. I can remember when I was a boy, Mom and Dad had an old school bus. They fixed it up, made it into a camper. And I thought, that's the best thing that could ever been. You could walk back there and make you a sandwich while you're going down the road. I even think about now OSHA, you know, they have rules for you. Well, we should have had some rules, because I can remember going down the interstate, Dad driving, me sitting in the seat in front of where the stove and everything is, and Mom's cooking supper. Got things boiling on the stove, we're going along fine. Could have been a lot of trouble, but I had a lot of good memories from it. But I can remember the time that we started up a mountain with it. And that thing was an old bus. It did great on Louisiana highways that are flat. But we started up a mountain. And Dad, it didn't have very many gears to start with. But Dad would go a little ways and he'd go down to a lower one, then a lower one. And, you know, then he got to where I even myself as a child, I know there's not many more. And he gets on up till we still have a lot of mountain left to go. And he's got about two gears left. And the old motor's just a whining, carrying on, and we still got more to go. And he downshifts to that last one. And we're going along for a little bit, and then it starts getting slower and slower. It's not like he's letting off the gas pedal. He's got it almost to the floor. But there's not enough power there. And I remember him saying, "Dan, I tell you what, we're in trouble here. I keep a chalk block right behind the passenger seat. Get ready. Stand at the door. If this thing stops so we don't go back the other direction, jump out and put that chalk block behind it." I want to tell you, that's the way a lot of people's experiences are. I don't have enough power for the troubles that come my way. I want to tell you, the Lord's got extra power for us in this day and time, that the devil has nothing that he can throw against you that God does not have the power to carry you through. It says, what he does not keep you from, God has the power to take you through. We would like for the Lord to say, okay, you get saved and you will never have another trouble come into your life. He didn't plan it that way. Job had a whole lot of troubles come into his life. And he said he was a perfect and an upright man. He hated evil. And yet trouble came into his life. But what God did not take him out of, he gave him the power to go through. And he has the same thing for us today. So that higher octane that I would like to talk to you tonight about is not just, okay, I want to make it. I want to make it. But I want to talk to you about desire tonight. It makes a big difference when I just, okay, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be lost. Boy, there's a lot of trials that just almost knock me down. But I want to tell you, when you move over into the desire category, this is where my heart is. This is my desire. Things will change for you. I want to start in Psalms in 42:1. Here's where desire is. "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." What's my desire for the Lord tonight? Is it just, I tell you what, Lord, if I could just make it into heaven. There are people that really don't want to live right, but they don't want to be lost in the end. Folks, I'm going to have to move farther than that. I'm going to have desire here. And this one says, just like that deer is panting after the water brooks, my soul is panting after thee, O God. If you ever worked on a job outside, maybe on a weekend, and it's hot and you're sweaty, but you don't have time to stop, you can get to a place, and it's hard for me to seem like we could get there, but you can get to the place that you say, I don't want food. I've got to have a drink. I've got to have a drink. That's what this is talking about. That my soul would be panting. Lord, I've got to have you. I need more of you in my life. It's desire there. And then it goes on down. Where is desire? Where's mine today? Because I tell you, the world has a pull to it. Like a magnetic force, and you see it sucking people in all the time. Where's my desire? I think about that song number 151. It says, "More like Christ, my heart is praying. More like Christ from day to day. All his graces," this is my desire, "all his graces rich displaying while I tread my pilgrim way. More like Christ in deeds of kindness. My desire is to be more like Christ." There's another one. Song number 300 says, "I am drinking at the fountain. I made some decisions in my life. I'm drinking at the fountain." This is the third verse of song number 300. "Where I ever would abide." I made up my mind now. I want to please the Lord with my life. "I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied." Folks, I want to tell you, satisfied is a good place to be, because I'm no longer longing for anything else then. It says, "There's no thirsting for life's pleasure. nor adorning rich and gay, I have found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. Don't tell me of heavy crosses. I see what the devil has to offer, and my soul is satisfied. For us today, I need my desire to be strengthened, because the devil would like to work on desire. Look at this next verse. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When do I get another opportunity to go be where God is going to be? Now, I want to tell you, we get that opportunity through the day. We can stop at any time or be continuing working and meet with God again. But there are special times that we set aside that we say, Lord, we want to meet up with you. You remember the scripture in Hebrews where it's kind of a warning to us. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and even so much the more as you see this day that we've been talking about approaching, the end that we sang about just before the message. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, that's over in the I got to category. I want to make heaven, so I got to come to meeting. Folks, I want to tell you, if I move it over into the desire category, it looks a lot different. When shall I get to come and appear before the Lord again? When do I get the next opportunity? And I want to tell you, I understand meetings that go through the week and you have to work in the daytime. You're tired out in body. But I want to tell you, when the heart is saying, Lord, I tell you what, I'm just looking for another opportunity. Because we're in a time today where the desire for service is drying up. There are many places today that have just enough time for a Sunday morning service. Don't have time for Sunday night. Don't have time for Wednesday night. Something's different there than this verse says. When do I get to appear again? When do I get to come before God again? And I am thankful that we don't have to wait for Sunday night and for Wednesday night. At any time, you can stop, or you can be driving down the road and get to meet with God again. I am so thankful for it. There's another verse that talks about desire. Psalms 122 and verse 1. You remember the verse now in Hebrews where it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This one carries it over into the desire category. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I wish I could tell you that all my life, that was my testimony. I was just glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But I can remember when I was a child, mom and dad, it was just one of those things that they grew up with. If it's service time, we're going to be in service. We won't miss for anything. And I can remember being in Louisiana and a storm is coming. You know, they can predict hurricanes down there a couple days ahead of time. So they're saying a storm is coming. It could be hitting on Sunday. And as a child, I'm thinking, oh, we might get to stay home this one Sunday. That's what I saw from home was, this is important to mom and dad. I didn't ever wake up on a Sunday morning and say, now, are we going to go to church today or do we get to stay home? It's just understood. This was their priority to them. You know what? I need to have it as my own. And not just that I'm somebody's maybe watching me, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was thinking of another verse, Proverbs 10 and 24. It says, the fear of the wicked shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. The things that a righteous person desires will be granted. You ever read through the Bible and you see some of those scriptures in the New Testament that says things like, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you just ask what you want and you'll have it. Have you ever wondered about that verse? There are people that they kind of call it name it and claim it. You want it? Ask for it. To the person that's abide, this, I believe the secret there is if ye abide in me, it changes everything. Now, what would a person that's abiding in the Lord ask for? Lord, I'd like to be more like Christ. Lord, would you help me? There was a blind lady one time. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you just ask what you want, and it'll be done for you. This blind lady, this is what she asked for. I'd like for us to sing her request. Song number 460. Fanny Crosby. If you were blind, what would you ask for? Oh, give me my eyesight back. You know what her testimony was? I read her history. It said like she had like 8,000 hymns that she was able to compose. Couldn't write them. She had to hold them in her head until somebody could come by that she could tell them to so they could write it. She said that there was times when as many as 12 hymns were being composed in her mind at the same time. And she was able to sort them out, set this one aside, add to this one. It was a special ability that God gave her. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you just ask what you want. She said she looked back on that and she said, you know what? If I had had my eyesight, I would have never been able to do that because I would have had so many other things that my mind was on. So she thanked God for what he allowed. And this is Fanny Crosby's desire. Savior, more than life to me, I am clinging, clinging close to thee. Let thy precious blood applied keep me ever, ever near thy side. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. Through this changing world below, lead me gently, gently as I go. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee.
As I thought about this song, you can almost visualize a blind person writing it. Through this changing world below. You know, one of the last things that a blind person wants is to have change in their house, in their life. I just got used to it being this way. I know if I walk 20 steps this way, here it is. Spiritually, I wish there wasn't change. But folks, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of change through this changing world below. She's saying, would you lead me gently? You know, another thing a blind person is asking for is don't walk fast. Go slow. I'm not sure of my steps. Would you take it slow and easy? Through this changing world below, lead me gently, gently as I go. Because trusting thee, I cannot stray. One of the fears of a blind person is if I happen to start out on my own, I could get turned around and don't know where I am. Folks, I want to tell you something. If we start out on our own, we don't know where we're going to end up. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. That's the only safe place for me. I can never, never lose my way. I'd like to look at another verse, Psalms 27. Here's another desire. Psalms 27 and the fourth verse. One thing. You know, there's a lot of people have a lot of things that they desire. This one says it's a Psalm of David. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This is my desire. And you know what? I have something to do with that desire coming about. My desire is that I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord, and I want to inquire in His temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Can that desire be granted? Have you ever seen a picture of maybe a little mule or something, and somebody's to get him to go, they hold a carrot on a stick out in front of him. So he will go if the carrot's out there, but he never gets it because they keep it in front of him. Is this what this is about? I've got this desire, but it's possible that it'll never be granted. Folks, I want to tell you what. The Lord can answer, can fill those desires. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it's got a guarantee, for they shall be filled. It doesn't say unless we have another 100 years pass and we'll be running low. No. Blessed are they that have a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. In this day and time that we're living in, I need to have a hunger for righteousness. I want to be more like Christ. There's a lot of companies today that will give you a guarantee. This product is guaranteed for 20 years. And next year when it messes up, you call that number and they say, we're sorry. There's no longer anybody at this number. They're gone. Is that what we can hope for through Christ? Uh-uh. It's going to be there. It'll be available. And there'll be plenty. There's enough for you. And there's enough for me. I'd like to go to Revelations, the third chapter. In all these years, it's never run low. It's available for us today. Revelations 3 and 20. Here's another guarantee. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, that's all we have to do. Hear his voice and open the door. He says, I'll come into him. I'll sup with him and he with me. The plan of salvation could have said, Christ has got the power to knock the door down. I'll give you one knock. To let you decide, and then I'm coming on in, and you're going to live right. No, He gives us each one a choice. I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any man will hear my voice, and he'll open the door. And I'd like to think about that as something more than just I'm a sinner, and he's knocking, and I got to decide if I'm going to open the door or not and be saved. You know what? Throughout our life, we're going to hear that voice, and I need to open the door. And let him come in. Let him sup with me. Let him be able to tell me, Dan, let me explain the direction you would be going, how it needs to be changed. At the very start of my ministry, I would use a lot of scriptures. And then I thought, you know what? I need to cut those down, and I need to give more thoughts with it. I want to tell you what came. The Lord said, Dan, you've gotten in a lot of trouble in the past with your thoughts, what you had to say about it. He said, Dan, I'll tell you what, I'll stand behind my word. I'll stand behind it. What you have to say besides my scripture, you're going to have to take care of. So I want to be real careful about giving my own thoughts. Folks, the word of God is what's going to stand. and we need to be able to see it. This one right here says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Throughout my life, 20 years after I've become a Christian, I'm going to hear a knock. We'll probably hear a knock this week. The Lord saying, Dan, there's an adjustment that you need to make in your life. You know what? I still need to open the door. Because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I can quickly say, no, it's okay. I'm okay. I can cover it with, you know what? That's just the way I am. My mom and dad was like that, and that's just the way I am. And I don't open the door and let him come in and help me make adjustments on those areas. I am so thankful that the Lord is willing to take time with each one of us. Yes. It is not his will that any would perish. When in the third chapter of 2 Peter, it said there's going to be those scoffers that are going to say, where is the sign of his coming? And I want to tell you, all my life I've been hearing the same thing. The end is coming. Another meeting comes and people tell me the end is coming. But he said, don't let that get you down. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Something else to remember is when I step over into eternity, nothing will be measured by time anymore. The Lord is willing to take plenty of time that not one of us would perish. And that's why he says, I stand at the door and knock. Not just on the day that I want you to be saved, but 10 days after you're saved and throughout the remainder of your life. I have felt it for myself. And I'm sorry to say there are times when I didn't open the door and I had to pay for it. Times when I thought this is the right way to go. Because just like we've talked about before, the devil doesn't wear a t-shirt that says, I'm Satan, and today is my day to tempt you. It says he can transform himself to the angel of light. He can come to us as, this is the right way to go. Folks are going to need direction from the Lord. We need to be willing to open the door and let him come in. There's something that is going to be very important for us. I need to understand the voice of the Lord. I need to understand how he works. I thought about Samuel when he was a little boy. And when he heard the call, when he heard his name, there's only one other person in the house. It must be Eli. So he went to him and said, what do you need? And after about the third time, Eli recognized something and told him, said, Samuel, next time you hear that, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. How did Eli even think that that could have happened? You know what? There was a time when Eli heard the voice of the Lord. You read those chapters before that. The Lord had come to Eli and dealt with him about things. Dealt with him about his children that were ministering in the temple. This temple that we've been talking about over these past few days. Dealing with Eli. Eli, there's some changes that you need to make. And Eli failed to do them. When Samuel heard the voice of the Lord, it was only a memory to Eli. God was no longer speaking directly to Eli. Folks, we can override this voice. Oft in the noonday, the evening, and in the stillness of night, sounds in the bosom this warning, turn from the evil, do right. Yet is the voice still unheeded, though it is Jesus who pleads, calling the wandering sinner, offering grace for his needs. And I'd like to say, yeah, that's a good song for the sinner. I want to tell you, often as a Christian, if I'm not careful, the voice will be talking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll hear my voice, there's a lot of sounds today. There's a lot of voices. One of those is my own voice. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. In all of my ways, I need to say, Lord, this is how I see it. This is how I believe is the right way. But Lord, I won't trust it. I need you to guide me. There's another verse in Revelations, right at the last, 22 and 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You know, in Amos it talked about there's coming a famine on the land. It's not going to be a famine of bread. It's not going to be a famine of a thirst for water. There will be plenty of food and water, but there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. I believe we're in that kind of a day today. But this is saying, still, to him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I'd like to look at an example of a man in Jeremiah in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. Right in the time when there's a lot of trouble all around, you would say, well, you know what? It's so wicked, can't hardly anybody live right anymore. But look at this one in 17 and 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We have times in Oklahoma that it doesn't rain for a long enough period of time that they say, okay, the water levels in the lakes that are feeding the towns for drinking water are getting low enough that now you're going to have to stop watering your lawns. You know, people are now used to, people weren't too interested in whether the lawn stayed green or not. And I remember even at home, we live out in the country. Cheryl kind of like to have it green, like to water it maybe, but I'm kind of happy in the summer when it goes dry. I don't have to mow it again. But you know what they're saying in town? You know, each person, he's concerned about the ones looking at him next door, so he waters the lawn. We've had times in Oklahoma where they say, okay, it's down close enough now that you're going to get a ticket. If the police drives by your place, if you have an even address, you can do it on Monday. You can water on Monday and Thursday. If you're watering any other day, you'll get a ticket for it. The odd addresses can do it on another day. There's a shortage of water. This man, he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the water. He spread out his roots by the river. And I can look at that, and there's a tap root that goes out, and it just dips down into the river that's flowing all the time. When the grass is dry and burn up all around him, people looking at it and say, how is it possible that that tree can still have green leaves on it? It's because he spread his roots out by the river. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that is thirsty come, and drink of the water of life freely. This one, he won't be careful in the year of drought. He won't have to say, I tell you what, I'm going to have to read the Word of God only on Mondays and Wednesdays because things are just drying up around me. If ever there's a time I need to read it more often, it's at that kind of a time. Blessed is that man. There was another man. Because today, there's a lot of news coming to us. And that news can make me very fearful of what the future might hold. I can remember when I was a boy, back about 1970, when Russia made a claim. They said, we will take America, and we won't even fire a shot to do it. And it will be taken soon. I can remember mothers that heard that and almost had a nervous breakdown thinking, what does the future hold for my children? What is the future going to hold? And here a few years passed, and Russia was no longer a threat. A lot of times we can look at things, and if we look at it without looking at it through God's eyes, it can look like disaster is coming. But I want to tell you, whatever comes out in the future, to the person that is holding on to the hand of the Lord, He'll walk us through it. We won't have to be afraid in the year of drought, because we have tapped out into the river, that river of life that will feed us right on through it. Psalms 112, and in the seventh verse, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, yes, trusting in the Lord. You can send him another message of how bad things are going around, and it does not change anything for him, because all along his heart has been fixed, trusting in the Lord. We're in a time where polls are taken. And there's a reason for polls being taken. I'm hearing over the last few years, this poll has been taken about gay marriage. And they will go back and say, this year, there is a 60% approval rating. And now they no longer just say that. They go back and say, you know what? 5 years ago, it was only a 40% rating. What's that? What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that is to not fix your heart. The purpose for that is to influence you to make a change. Folks, our heart is fixed, yes, trusting in the Lord. If the Bible says something is wrong, it'll be wrong if 99% of the world says we now have, there's a poll now, it's 95% today. If you're on the other side of that 95%, you need to get worried. No, what we need to do is turn the radio off, because it don't matter if they say it's 100%. Now, one thing about it, if they say it's 100%, then I know they're wrong, because they have never called me to ask me what I thought about it. And you'll start finding, even on those, you say, well, where did you get that 60%? Well, we called 1,000 people, and I found out something. They can word the other questions that go with it in a way that you just about answered how they want to start off with. Those things that can be influenced. Abortion. They will tell us that today the percentage rate of Americans that say it's okay is so much higher. What's the reason for that? To influence my thought. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. If these issues, these moral issues that will come up, I don't need to judge those by whether it's 95%. What I need to do is come back here in the Word of God and say, Lord, what do you think about it? Because my perspective really doesn't matter about it at all anyhow. Nor does the perspective of the media and all the others around us that will try to influence us. The only thing that's going to be important is what does God think about it. And on this issue, folks, I've often thought, is there anybody up in Washington that would say, all I want to do is read to you the Word of God, what it says about a society that allows the gay marriage. Let's just go back, let's just read the chapter about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then people will get to decide one way or another. You never hear that. But it's still just as real as if it were read. We're faced with questions about if there's even a God. We're faced with questions about creation. I'm seeing more and more. And I am really glad that the Hubble telescope was sent out there. Because every picture that I get to see from that Hubble telescope just helps me to see a little more of God that I wasn't able to see with my naked eye. Where would we be as a nation if we started from God created it all? And now this Hubble telescope shows us more of what God created. I believe God was interested in us being able to see some more of His creation. But He was never interested in it taking us farther from Him. Hebrews 11 tells us without faith, it's going to be impossible to please God. Because he that cometh to God must believe that he is. The very first thing I've got to do, I've got to believe there's a God. And he's a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. I need to also remember the other side of that coin is he's going to be a rewarder of those who fail to diligently seek him. I need to be able to have faith that all I have to do is turn to Genesis 1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And step by step. You know what? I don't have to be able to explain how he did it. In fact, all it did is it said he spoke it into existence. I am so glad to be serving that kind of a God today. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, the very first thing reaction was the same I'd have had. He was scared. And then he recognized, this is the Lord. And he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to walk to you on the water. You check around anywhere in the nation today and they say, you better stay in the boat, it won't work. But I tell you what, when Jesus says, come on, it'll work. For you and I today, there's going to be some things come in our life that the world will tell you, you're done for. There ain't nothing for you now. That is until Jesus steps in. If Peter would have kept his eyes on the Lord, I wonder how far they would have both walked across that lake. But he got his eyes off And that's the danger for me and you today. Desire is going to be real important for us. Because you can read in the news, I've just been reading in the last couple of weeks, the findings that they are seeing in outer space is not leading men toward God. In fact, it's causing them to be able to justify more that there is no God. We're being able to explain better how this thing came about with a big bang. I need to realize that, you know what? That verse in Romans said, in the first chapter, it says, when they knew God, when I could have seen God all around me, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And then all these things started happening. There is something for me to remember in Romans 3:3. It does not matter what happens around me. It does not matter if we're in the minority in public opinion. Here is the bottom line of it all. Romans in the 3rd chapter and in the 3rd verse. What if some did not believe? There is a whole lot of unbelief around us today. And these polls that are taken are supposed to influence us. This says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. I need to have down inside my heart, it does not matter. If somebody finds a fossil and they're able to tell me, you know what, this thing is millions of years old. I just have to say, you know what? God is a great big God. He can make it look however He wants to. And I just wonder if a lot of these things, God didn't make it in a way to where if you choose otherwise, He will allow the mind of man to process some information that takes him far away from God. But in the middle of all that, I can choose to live for the Lord. I want to close with one more verse. In Joshua, Joshua was talking to the people, and he's asking them to make a decision. Joshua in the 24th chapter and in the 15th verse. Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, that's the bottom line of it for all of us. I can't really influence you or the world today. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As the hart, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As for me and my house, by God's help, this is what we want. You ever heard before that as we come closer to the end of time, the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift from the earth? Now there is a verse that was speaking to Noah. It says, my Spirit is not always going to strive with man. The Spirit is still there. I believe up to the day that the door of the ark closed, the Spirit was there, willing, if anyone chose, I changed my mind, I'd like to enter the ark. I would like to go. The Spirit was there, willing. My Spirit won't always strive with man. There was a time when the door closed and it was too late. There is a day when it will close for us each one. When I breathe my last breath and the Spirit of the Lord will no longer deal with me, I will be ushered out into eternity. But until then, I am so thankful that He says, to him that hungers and thirsts, He didn't say up to this day, blessed is he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness, he'll be filled. I was thinking about Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, when he said the man with a line in his hand, he went out and he measured. And he said he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was water that was ankle deep. He measured another, and it was like it was to the knees. But he went on farther, and it was to the waist. And he went on farther, and it was a river that you could swim in that could not be crossed over. I look at that, and I think, you know, there have been times in the past when I was willing to settle for ankle-deep water. You know, you could go, when I was a child, I didn't know how to swim, and I could go out to the river. My aunt would take us out to the river, us all children. And I was afraid to be out in the deep water. So I would get out in the shallow water, and I would kind of float on my stomach on top, but I could reach down with my hand, and I could dig into the mud and pull myself. But the only thing that showed I wasn't swimming was there's mud coming up around me. Folks, we're living in a time where we need to, God has a place for us to move out into the deep. We don't need to stay around the side where I'm just hoping. I really hope the pendulum of my life swings right to where I'm on the heaven side when my life comes to an end. We don't have to be that way. My desire can be, I'm panning after you, O Lord. When do I get to appear before you again? More than, oh, I've got to go to service again. I know there's times when we're tired, but down in the heart, my heart is saying, Lord, when do I get to meet up with you again? I desire your prayers. We're living in a time where the devil has a plan for every one of us. But the Lord has a plan too, and he's got grace sufficient. As sin abounds, remember, God's power to live above it will always stay ahead of it. I believe there's a song in the Black Book, maybe, of Higher Ground. I would like for us to sing that song in closing. Okay, number 31 in the Black Book. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found.